Okay, we'll get started. Appreciate everybody being here. Hopefully this gives you a little break from the cool weather outside and some fellowship. I'm just teasing. I know it's kind of warm, but that's all right. I enjoy summertime. I'm enjoying this. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all you've done for us, for your blessings. Thank you for an awesome camp meeting, and we thank you for the saints of God and their faithfulness and their support and their love. We appreciate that. We feel that. We thank you for that. We're thankful for America, as the brother mentioned this morning. We're glad we live here. We're thankful for this nation, but she needs you as she always has. And we ask you to help and direct and be the duration of the camp meeting, the service today. Help us in every way. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, we thank everybody for being here and appreciate you taking time to attend these services. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, or so you run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." This is 1 Corinthians 9:26 now. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Right. Our theme this week, and it started at home just a few weeks ago, I think. I brought a couple of messages along this line, and just, it's like God kind of talked to me, but sort of took me in several directions, and it just felt like it should be brought this week. And so God's been working with me and teaching me and equipped me with some things that I hope will help us, certainly so. And so temperance is the theme for the week. Temperance, just a little quick review, but it's self-control, self-mastery, self-restraint. And that third part there, that language there, I think is so beneficial to our lesson today. Self-restraint. Restraint. Someone said this, "Temperance is moderation in the things that are good." See, just because something's good doesn't mean we should just gorge ourselves on it. We're going to talk about that today. And total abstinence from things that are foul. Temperance is self-restraint. Control. Amen. Self-control. The four keys in our study yesterday was this. God gives a temperate mind. Thoughts are powerful. We must exercise temperance in our mind. Our mind is prone to wander. Today we'd like to consider another thing. A part, an area of this flesh. See, Paul said the enemy we're contending with really is our body. I want to talk about another thing today that we must contend with, and that I think is worthy of our time. In our scripture text, 1 Corinthians 9:25, the Apostle Paul here, drawing some illustrations and imagery from the Grecian contest, said, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate," or he exercises self-control, "in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible." One rendering says, "Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown that perishes. We do it for a crown that's imperishable." There's another thing or area that we must consider. And I'm going to do my best today to keep this as inoffensive as possible. No one get unhappy with me. And if I offend anyone, I've got a card here. I will take you to Jolly Pirates. Okay? But I think it's worthy for us to talk about temperance in our eating. Yes. Amen. Again, I'm going to tread kind of lightly and not try to be offensive in the least bit. It's not my desire at all. In fact, I was kind of struggling with this lesson going, should I even bring it? But it's right here in this verse. And it's very much a part of God's word. In fact, I can't exhaust this in one. I mean, it'd be messages. The Bible's replete with our physical diet. So we want to introduce it this way, a poem I wrote yesterday. In this Christian race, there's another topic of concern. It involves our eating and the calories we burn. Do I have your attention now?
Yes.
All right. More than what we feed on in our mind and head, it's what we take in our mouth. The kind of food we're fed. God wills that we be in health and not laid up in bed, out in the field witnessing, not at home instead. So while this lesson may be hard to chew, swallow, and digest, just keep in mind that this is all part of temperance. All right. Temperance in our eating. A temperate mind wasn't the only thing that affected the performance of a Grecian athlete. I've studied it. You study it and read about it. It was their eating, too. I don't want to be hurtful in any way, but we want to build up the body of Christ. And we have this flesh that only operates at its fullest capacity when it's in health. Amen. Yes, I realize people battle sickness. That's part of life. This body wasn't made to last forever. But I believe we should be good stewards of our body. And just stay with me. I'll give you several verses here. I realize when we start talking about the physical part of man, especially when it talks about food, you talk about taking away food, you've got a battle on your hands. And people get uncomfortable. I'm sure no one here. But some do. I also know when it comes to our physical diet and what we take into our body that we can go too far in either direction. Moderation. Some people get so caught up in what they eat, but yet live licentious, horribly immoral lives. But they got to have every single little article of food just the proper and right way. I think there's a middle of the road. Amen. And I'm not saying today that you shouldn't go to Jolly Pirates. I just said I'd buy you a Jolly Pirate. But moderation. Instead of 12, have 10. Right? Amen. Now, I believe we can have some fun with this, but we should be wise and consider that we are what we eat. Amen. It's true. It's so true. There are several truths in our text today that's worthy of our consideration. All right, let's get into it now. Paul said here in our text, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The athlete is temperate in all things. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 5, he said, strive. He's same word here now. He said, he striveth in our text. But he says, strive for the masteries or for masteries. How do we do this, Paul? Strive lawfully. In other words, if we're going to be successful, we got to go according to God's law. Does God's law cover our physical diet? It most certainly does. God's law or his rules most certainly cover this subject. In fact, it's more than I can, it's inexhaustible. It's the inexhaustible word of God. I'm sure you brethren know and sisters who've studied along subjects and lines. Once you start digging, you think, wow, where does this end, right? Just goes on and on and on. It's the case with this as well, I'm sure, and what I have found. Let's look today. Why must we exercise temperance in our eating? Well, 4 points we'll look at today. We need to, first of all, understand what our body represents. Amen. A Christian must exercise temperance or self-control, not only in his thought life or in his mental diet, but he must also exercise temperance in his physical diet, what he puts into his body. Paul said, I keep under my body, or that word, that Greek word is flesh, bring it, my body, into subjection. Blessed by that, but he means that when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What does the Christian's body represent? Let's just look at a few verses. I'm sure most of us know these truths, but let's just reconsider a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. Paul writing to the church of God at Corinth, the saints there, the congregation, for ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Come down to verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. He speaks here about a temple, and that Greek word there, that's that part of the temple where God himself resides. He speaks about destroying it. The opposite of destroying it here is to build up. Now, does the Apostle Paul get any more specific concerning who and what this temple is? Go to the 6th chapter. Let's see if he gets a little more specific. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he asks a question. What? Know ye not that your body... Amen. He's dealing with the body in our text, in our scripture reading. The flesh. He said your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your entire... It's not just the spiritual part of the soul of mankind. It's our entire being that's God's housing. Why is it important what we do with these members? It's all part of the body. Amen. This member doesn't do this. Not when he's saved. It's part of the body. Amen. Yes, he said the body, and this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. So we find here that our body is the temple of God. Amen. That's why it's important that we consider what we put into our body. If you live in a building owned by someone else, you try not to violate the building's rules, right? As a good steward or a good occupant of that building. Because your body belongs to God, we must not violate his standards for living. This body of ours represents the temple of God. For our service to be effective and our body operational, we must control what we put inside it. Now, what does the body actually say about temperance in our physical appetite? Let's get into it. Exercise temperance in our portion control, or portion control. I'd like to maybe style it that way. Yesterday, our lesson was on temperance in our mind or thought control. Today, it's about portion or appetite control. Just what we are tasked with controlling, just as we're tasked with controlling what we put into our mind, God also puts it in our responsibility to control what we put in this body. One good moral result which sprang from the ancient system of athleticism was the self-denial and self-mastery which is required. In ancient Greece, if you read about the athletes, the candidate for a prize had to be pure. That's good for Christianity, isn't it? Yes. See, Paul got quite a lesson by watching those Grecian contests. They had to be pure, sober, and enduring. But those Grecian athletes also had to obey orders. That's good for us, isn't it? And they had to eat sparingly and simply, and to bear effort and fatigue for 10 months before the contest. Now let's see if the Bible speaks about our diet and about controlling this flesh. Go over to Galatians. He deals with the fruit of the Spirit here at the end of that chapter, the 5th chapter, Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 19, he gets into the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This is Galatians 5 and 19. Verse 21, envy and murders, drunkenness, revelings. These are works of the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. That word reveling means a feasting. So we find that a gorging of oneself is a work of the flesh. If you go over to Proverbs 23rd chapter, amen. I know this isn't popular, but just it's practical. And it's good for us to consider. Proverbs 23 and 1. When thou sittest, Proverbs 23 and 1. When thou sittest, and by the way, if you read the duration of that 5th chapter in Galatians, you'll find that one of the things God gives us to temper our appetite is temperance. Amen. That's what we're preaching about, teaching on. Proverbs 23 and 1. When thou sittest thee with a ruler, consider diligently what's before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be given a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. I realize there's spiritual application in this, But there's also practical and a natural physical application as well. Come on down to verse number 19. It says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." So what's some wisdom the wise man's trying to get to us? He says, "Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh." That word riotous means excessive. Wine bibbers is excessive drinking, social drinking, and so on. Eaters of the flesh. "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." See, we're warned here with some wise words of Solomon. The words in Proverbs here, to not even associate or be careful of our association with those that are given to fleshly appetites and excessiveness. Riotous or excessive eaters of the flesh. They're excessive eaters. That word gluttony is a habitual greed, or it also means excess in eating. Now, later on in this chapter, we were instructed there, as we just read it there, to not even associate or to be careful of our associations. Why? Because we know there's an influence in our associations, right?
That's right.
And I think my pointer quit working on me. It's dead. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Danny, would you press the downward arrow when I point to you there, buddy? There you go. Thank you. All right. Let's look at it a little bit here. Gluttony, excess in eating, was viewed. Now, in Bible times, it was viewed as an offensive behavior, actually. And the Bible cautions against associating with the glutton. At issue here is a preoccupation with satisfying our own desires. While feeling good for a while, to gorge oneself is a bad life choice. Such priorities ultimately short-circuit our real-life purposes. All right, brother. Some people eat to live, and others live to eat. Amen. Which category are you in today? Some people eat to live. In other words, they eat because it's necessary. And some, that's all they can think about. Now, I realize there are some that really battle with this, and I don't make fun or not trying to belittle them in any way, but there's help for us.
That's right.
Because temperance is self-control. Amen. So God can give you help in this area. This is one reason we need the fruit of temperance in our life, to exercise this control. All right, brother. While food is fundamental to the health and happiness of our physical man, we must not become excessive in our eating. We must eat in moderation with portion control. A Christian doesn't gorge himself on food. A Christian exercises temperance in all elements and areas of his life, including physical appetite. When the religious hypocrites of Jesus' day wanted to accuse him, they brought up this degrading and demeaning act. They said this, "There's that son of man. He came eating and drinking. Behold, a man gluttonous." See, they were trying to belittle him. It was a degrading sin. Looked down upon. A wine bibber. Was Christ a wine bibber? Not in the least bit. But they were trying to ridicule, make fun. A friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom's justified of our house. How about the Hebrew boys? All right, Brother Danny. How about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did they exercise temperance in their diet? Very much so. Let's go over there and read that account. It's a beautiful account. Here's a young man. I think some scholars have said Daniel's about 17. Maybe a little different in what you've read. And if I'm wrong, correct me. But that's what I've found. But let's say they were young men. When they'd go in there and capture provinces and areas, they would take back the best young men. And then they would sort of leave the rest to eat off the spoil. And so they brought in Daniel. He was a choice young man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel 1 and 8, the Bible says, here's a young man. The Bible says Daniel 1 and 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart or his mind that he would not defile himself with the portion. We're speaking about temperance in our eating or portion control. The Bible says Daniel would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested. And you know, saints, we're in a foreign land here on this earth.
Right.
We're pilgrims, strangers in a foreign land. This isn't our home. We're just traveling through here. And there are times when we need to speak up and speak out if we don't agree with it. Amen. I've had it the last couple years. Amen. Well, it's a requirement. Everyone's doing it. But if it goes past your own morals and God's word, you need to speak up and speak out. You can't just go along with those things. And these boys refused to. I mean, it could have been their life. But here they spoke up. And I'm sure in a polite manner, they requested of the prince of the eunuchs that they might not defile themselves. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love. Now, what do you think brought that? God? God brought that, right? It says God had brought Daniel into favor. See, no doubt through Daniel's actions, politeness, his temperance. I realize this is before the Spirit was given, but certainly he was inspired by God and had God motivating and moving him, inspiring him. And so it said there that God brought Daniel into favor, tender love with the prince of eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for they should see your faces. So why should see your faces? Worse likened than the children which are of your sort. Then shall ye make me endanger my king, my head to the king? Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove or test thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse. Or pulse was basically an unmixed seed or a type of the word of God, but it was an unmixed seed. And he said, water to drink. And that's still good for us today. Amen. Pulse and water. That's not a bad diet. Then let your countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat at the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. In other words, what you're eating is far better for your health than what I can offer you. Take it away and let me give you what you requested. Because they stood up and they spoke up. Amen. We don't have to just go along. I know we live in this foreign land and there are requests put out there at our jobs about doing certain things. But if it's contrary to moral principle and God's word, we don't have to do it. And we shouldn't do it. And if they force you or try to force you, find another job. Amen. We don't sacrifice principles, godly principles, just to get along or fit in. We shouldn't fit in. We're not trying to fit in. Amen. We're the light of the world. So we need to be careful. Certainly Daniel and these other three Hebrew boys practiced temperance in their eating. Amen. Temperance in our mind will lead to temperance in our diet. All right, let's go on. What we eat affects our health and wellness. Let's go to the next one there, Brother Danny, if you would. I'm going to ask Brother Stegmeyer here. I'm reminded of a story he's told different times about the old ministers years ago when they would pray for the sick, or maybe not all of them, but maybe ones that would maybe habitually come up there, or ones maybe they knew about. But Brother Stegmeyer, would you speak up and tell us what some of the old ministers would ask those parishioners?
Well, I always ask them, what have you been eating? Then I had one older minister, he's gone now, but a dear old man, I've always been troubled by acid reflux. Years ago, he said, you know, if you watch your diet, careful eating those rich foods and eat an apple a day. I know there's this Bible, but he said an apple a day will take care of acid reflux. So I believe some of these things, these principles are in the Word of God. Different herbs are for the healing of the nation. We can learn a lot from what God has put here and implement them into our diet. But they'd always ask, what have you been eating?
Amen. I know we can be offensive probably today with some people that way. But there's something to be said about that. Just eat a bunch of junk food and all go get prayed for. I think that's being presumptuous.
That's right.
Amen. That's not operating and acting with temperance. It's not just, Brother Danny, the next one, thank you for your help. It's not just the portions that are important. Equally important is what is in those portions. Amen. Does anyone know what the leading cause of death is? Heart disease. Now, I'm going to bring some quotes here. This is a renowned cardiovascular. And a cardiovascular doctor is someone trained to prevent heart disease and blood vessels, or diseases of the heart and blood vessels. But a renowned cardiovascular research scientist and doctor had this to say about our health. I want you to listen to this. Let's go to our next slide. I've put this up on a slide. He said this: what have we changed over the last 100 years? Now look at this. Number one, our diet, our medicine, our education, our values, our family structure. What has increased over the last 100 years? Anxiety, depression, loneliness, suicide. This begs the question, how did we eat 100 years ago? Does anyone remember? Oh, no one lived? Well, I got something to tell you. I didn't either. And so I did some research, Brother Daniel. Let's find out what they ate 100 years ago. There's something to be said about this. The practice and preparation of a meal 100 years ago. Are you ready for this? Bread had to be made. How many make homemade bread? Well, good for you. What time's supper? I'm just kidding. Vegetables had to be peeled and cooked. Meat prepared and cooked. Fruits cleaned and often canned. Casseroles made from scratch. Amen. Desserts baked from grandma's recipes. Where do we find our recipes today, young people? McDonald's, all right. The internet. Alexa, give me the easiest recipe for meatloaf. I use that. It's pretty useful, isn't it? Amen. Back then, there were no boxed pasta or cakes to whip up in 10 minutes. Amen for all of us. The Real Food Guide, otherwise known as How We Ate 100 Years Ago, has this to say, I quote, "Eat a diet that makes you feel healthy, vibrant, and full of energy all day. Eat whole, unprocessed food, preferably in season. Consume foods that are high in vitality every day, like fruit and vegetables, raw nuts and seeds, and naturally fermented foods." Yeah. What should we eat? Well, that noted cardiovascular research scientist went on to tell us what we should eat. Let's go to that next one, Brother Danny. If everyone ate mostly what is called whole food.
That's right.
Now, what's whole food? Foods that are in their natural state.
Yeah.
I know this is hard today. Believe me. You don't go down to McDonald's and find real food. As much as you think that food is real food, it's not totally real food. Amen. Now, if you want to go to McDonald's, I'm not going to find fault with you. I happen to go there once in a while myself. But I think our diet should be rich in these kinds of food.
Right.
Real whole food. Meat, eggs, the staple items, cheese, and fresh produce. I realize this takes work today when so few grow their own produce and production costs have driven up the prices, but it's well worth the investment. See, I don't think that we should go cheap on food if we can help it. It's a temple of God. Go cheap on your extravagant paid vacations. And go cheap on your extravagant hobbies. But be careful about what we take into this body. Come on now. I believe we could save ourselves a lot of heartache and sickness and disease. In fact, if we go to that next slide, God told his people through the prophet Moses in Exodus 15:26. Let me read this if you want to follow with me. Exodus 15:26. He said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in the sight, and will give ear to the commandments, keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. God promised that if the people obeyed him, they'd be free from diseases that plagued the Egyptians. Many, in fact, many of the moral laws that he gave later on were actually were found out, and when we use them today, to actually keep people from disease and sickness. Or they keep people from disease and sickness. Men and women are complex beings. Didn't the psalmist say we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Our spiritual health hinges in a great way on our emotional and physical health. Let me give you some examples. What happens when we get tired? I'm sure no one here ever gets irritable or cranky when they get tired. That's natural. It's part of the physical body, right? How about when we get tired, does anyone ever lose their patience? If you had any to begin with. Just kidding. It's part of the physical body. So we find that we can't operate many times as we ought to. Our spiritual health hinges in a great way on our emotional and physical health. Modern medicine is now acknowledging what God taught his people since the beginning of time. Does anyone know where God placed the very first man and woman? He placed them at Walmart, didn't he? No? At a grocery store? Starbucks. That sounds pretty good. He placed them in a garden. Right? Does anyone have gardens today? Let me see those hands. Good. Give me your address. I want some fresh produce. Oh, that sounds good. All right. I know that many of us live in the city, and you can even do raised garden beds, but it's not always practical, and maybe you don't have the opportunity to do this. So it can be difficult. But I think it's worth our study and consideration. God placed Adam and Eve in a garden. True. Let's read a couple of verses. Genesis, the second chapter, verse number 8. The Lord God planted a garden. That garden must have been something with God planted it. Amen. We know it's the type of the church, but God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. He put the man whom he formed in the garden, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Yeah. What? Off of the tree. Where? In the garden. Yeah. Amen. There's something to be said about this. And by the way, these brethren lived a few years back then, didn't they? Yeah. Amen. Just a couple. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge, the good and evil. If we want to run a successful Christian race, then we must submit to God's laws. There are many diseases that God spares us from because of a healthy, wholesome lifestyle that Christianity affords. Think about AIDS. I'm not trying to speak disrespectfully of anyone, but God spares us many diseases. Because of a wholesome, healthy lifestyle. Amen. There are many diseases God spares us from. This same doctor that I've been referring to said this: your diet's not only what you eat, it's what you watch, what you listen to. We spoke about that yesterday. What you read and the people you hang around with. Be mindful of what you put in your body. Emotionally, physically, mentally, physically, mentally, it all matters. Now in our text, Paul said, every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Right. And then he went on to speak about part of his control and diet, or part of his temperance there was to control his body. The apostle said an athlete exercises temperance in his body, right. And so should we. When it comes to an athlete, their diet or what they allow in their body is extremely important. If we think about a wholesome diet, it provides us at least a couple things. The next slide, Brother Danny. It enhances your performance. And think, oh, I'm sorry, go on. We're beyond, there it is. Certainly, as a Christian, if we eat well, go back one if you would. It certainly will enhance our performance. And it also promotes muscle growth and repair. Good nutrition can enhance our performance. We are what we eat. Let's go to the next slide. Our physical body is but a reflection of the foods that we take into this frame of dust. Listen to what John the Beloved said in 3 John, the second verse. Let's go to the next slide, Brother Danny. He said this, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Paul talked about being temperate in all things. John said, "I wish above all things." What did he desire? Amen. "That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." One rendering says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health." John was vitally concerned about his dear friend Gaius, I believe it was, and his physical and spiritual well-being. He wrote there, "That thou mayest prosper and be in health." See, the better a man's health, the more thoroughly he can do his work for the Lord. Sickness may be allowed to chasten the erring or rebellious heart, someone said, but a Christian whose faith is firm and character is established can ill afford to despise the inestimable blessing of a sound body. A Christian exercises self-control, temperance in his diet. Now let's just hurriedly look at four men. Our next slide. Let's look at the. It's just going to be one or two verses here with each of these. Noah. Let's look at the diet of four men just quickly. Noah, Genesis 9 and 3. "Every moving thing that thou livest," this is coming out of the flood now, the new world. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth." Verse 3, "Every moving thing that thou livest shall be meat for thee, even as the green herb have I given you all things." How about Elijah? When he was under that, we referenced this yesterday, but when he was awakened there by the angel, the angel told Elijah in verse number, let's pick up verse number 4. He went a day's journey. We know he's been threatened. His life's been threatened. He's now in depression for his life. He's requesting to die. He sits under a juniper tree. And verse 5, he was touched there. Angel touched him, said, "Arise and eat." He looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. Or one rendering says there was some bread baked over hot coals. Amen. Now, this food was so substantial that in verse number 8, we find he went in the strength of that which he ate and drank. He went in the strength of it 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. I would say the angel, through God's direction, baked a meal that sustained him, wouldn't you? Amen. How about the diet of John, the forerunner of Christ, Matthew 3 and 4? "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and processed honey." That doesn't say that? Huh? Locusts and processed honey. Amen. If you want to have some processed honey, go right ahead. But I don't believe there's a single word in the Word of God that's just thrown there that's inessential. It's all essential.
Right.
And it speaks there about wild honey, or honey in its natural state with the enzymes and the nutritional benefits. There's something to be said about this. See, locusts were among the articles of food permitted by the law. And in essence, what John was doing was he was eating what he was supposed to eat. Amen. And it's believed those locusts, they were salted and dried, cooked in various ways. Amen. They even threw in some butter, and they tasted like shrimp. That's what I found anyways. Amen. Like chicken, that's right. So much like chicken. But what we find here is stress is laid on the simplicity of John's eating. Locusts, wild honey. How about the diet of Jesus? This is after his crucifixion now. He's come back in Luke, the 24th chapter now. Let's see what Jesus ate. That'd be a good example, wouldn't he? The best example. Luke, the 24th chapter. Let's see. In Luke 24 and verse number 36. In fact, the Bible even recommends a way of cooking things here. Amen. Luke, the 24th chapter, let's break into verse number 36. "And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified, frightened. I suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, I myself. Handle me, I'm flesh and bones, and so on. When he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, and said, have ye here any meat, he asked. They gave him a piece of fried fish. Huh? See, there is so much instruction if we'll just stop and read God's word. Do you think fried is the best, healthiest option for us?
No.
Now, I'm not going to find fault if you want to have fried something. But again, moderation. And understand that it's not the best thing to have in your diet. And when I use diet, I think that word can be offensive. Diet only means what you take in. If you eat healthy, that's your diet. You have a diet of healthy food. A diet doesn't mean you're suddenly restricting yourself. It's just what you take in, what you consume. But if you have a diet of only fried foods, I don't think it's going to do well. Your body will do very well with that. And if you don't have to take my words today. Go study it yourself. I hope in nothing else today that I whet your appetite to study. There's benefit in God's word for us along this line. I'm sorry, go ahead. That I was just reading? Oh, for Elijah. 1 Kings 19 and verse 6. I'm sorry, Sister Regina. Yes.
I once read an article that said if you want to get rid of your husband, feed him fried foods.
Ooh, mercy. Well, maybe some of you want to do that. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He take it eat before them. And these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled. Amen. Jesus ate some broiled fish and honey. Jesus' diet was simple, but it was nutritious. What we eat should be simple, but nutritious. Sitting down with an open bag of potato chips is simply not wise. Amen. When I say a bag of potato chips, I don't mean a little tiny temperate bag. I mean a non-temperate bag from Costco. Because those things don't fill you up. They're so tasty. And the salt just makes you want more, doesn't it? Oh, they're so tasty. And they're crunchy. And they're yummy. But there's little to no nutritional value in those. Amen. I know a little bit about diet, and so I think I know what I'm talking about when I say that. There's very little to any nutritional value in that. It's not a whole food. It's a deep-fried, processed food. Amen. Again, not trying to be offensive, and if you want some potato chips at dinner, I'll buy them for you. All right. But moderation. Amen. I'm not trying to be offensive. Fast food. All right. I know this is going to hit like a lead balloon. Fast food, what about it? Well, I think, again, in moderation. Moderation. In a society that thrives on fast meals and fast food, it would be wise for us to consider what our bodies take in. Proper health, energy. To compete in the spiritual race, we need energy. Amen. To work with souls takes great energy. Just to go about our job, brethren and sisters, takes energy, doesn't it? Amen. I need energy to keep up with my high schoolers. It's an active life. It's a busy life. I like it, but it's active and it's busy. I need energy. A successful athlete's very careful, concerned what he puts into his body. He doesn't live on a diet of fast food and fried food. He mixes in some fresh greens, some fruit, some vegetables. I think it's well every meal to try to have a little fruit or vegetable in that meal, don't you?
Something alive.
Amen. All right, a few of you agree with me. Well, you need to start finding some good Fuji apples. They're like candy, all right? I like to have that every morning. Just about every morning I have an apple and some nuts, a few other things. But anyways, try to mix in some greens or a fruit or vegetable in every meal if you can. There is a reason why it's called junk food. For two reasons. It requires little preparation. And it's little to no nutritional value. After eating from a box, you may need to detox. Amen. What about sugary drinks? Again, Moderation. Be careful. But I want to hit, yes, I want to hit another drink, another kind of drink. A temperate diet involves abstinence from intoxicating drugs. And I say drugs because alcohol is a drug. It's in liquid form, but it's a drug. Temperance is commonly associated, particularly with restraint in the use of intoxicating drinks. Proverbs 20:1 says this, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The deception is in the intoxicating mind-altering effect, is that intoxicating mind-altering effect that drugs have on the mind and body. That's the deception. It affects your mind and body. A Christian is commanded to be vigilant, watchful at all times. Intoxicating drugs do just the opposite. They numb your senses. Peter said this, be sober. That word means self-disciplined. Be sober, serious-minded, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If the devil can't get you through what you eat, he'll get you through what you drink. Now listen to Susanna Wesley, this quote, awesome quote. All right, Brother Danny, she made many years ago. By the way, she happened to raise two pretty successful boys by the name of John and Charles. And Susanna said this, whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, takes off your relish for spiritual things, whatever increases the authority of your body over the mind, we talked about the mind yesterday, the body today, that thing is sin to you, however innocent it may seem in itself. And this could apply to a lot of things. Certainly alcohol. Amen. But we got to be careful. If it numbs our senses and takes the relish off spiritual things, it could become sin to us. Alcohol, strong drink, all other mind-altering drugs do that. They have no place in the Christian's life. All who would live godly stay away from such substances. Now, in our scripture reading, just a little further here, Paul said, so run that ye may obtain. Or one rendering says, so run to win. Our desire this afternoon should be to win this race. And the Hebrew writer said it may require us laying aside every weight. Or it does require us. And I realize he's speaking about unbelief there. But there are many weights that weight people down. I know in the context he's speaking about unbelief. But I thought of this verse. Because that word weight means burden. And there are many weights and burdens that weigh upon people. Drag them down. And drugs can do that. They will do that. Alcohol will do that. Intoxicating beverages, strong drink, all kinds of manner of drugs. The Bible says, lay aside every weight. Someone says, what should I drink? Drink water. And drink lots of it. I think average man is supposed to drink around 125 ounces a day. Now, this depends on the environment. A day like today, you might be up to 225. I don't know. A woman around 91 ounces. But regardless, you need to drink water. Amen. And it would be also wise to include some whole grains, fruit, and vegetables in our daily diet. There is something else that we should consider. This is my last point. Are you all ready for it? All right, we're ready. Let's go to the next one, Brother Danny. Physical exercise. Don't we love this one? A close partner to diets, exercise. I want you to notice how many times Paul uses this verb, run, in our text. Let's go back there now. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for master temper in all things, and now they do corruptible, we incorruptible. I therefore so run. I think Paul was trying to make a point, don't you? Run's a verb, it's an action word. It means do something. Get busy. Then he goes on to say, keep under my body, bring subjection, lest that many means when I have preached. See, Paul went on to say that in essence, my running is my preaching the gospel. but I'm active.
That's right.
I'm active. And in our society where things have become so easily obtainable, hardly walk anymore. And I realize people have physical limitations, and I'm not trying to, and please know that I'm not, I have a little bit of understanding.
Right.
Some people I know are laid up and they're physically unable to. But those who are able to use their legs, it wouldn't hurt, right, use them. It wouldn't hurt for us to walk a little more, right? And maybe even run if you're able to. But Paul said in essence here that I'm active for the gospel's sake. Amen. Just like that athlete, he's running. I'm busy for Christ. And I'm running around, speaking to hearts and speaking to souls. I thought in that book, the life of D.S. Warner, the life and labors of D.S. Warner, I've read parts of that book.
Right.
And as I recall in that book, D.S. Warner did a whole lot of walking. Like miles and miles and miles and miles. Brother Brooks did.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, yes. Paul's running was certainly in the gospel sense or in the spiritual sense preaching. But this business of being active physically is very, very vital to our spiritual health. Amen. You brethren and sisters know that if preached, to study, prepare, and preach takes great effort. Tremendous effort. But that doesn't just mean the rest of the week we lay around. We need to stay active.
Right.
Active, if at all possible. He told Timothy, for bodily exercise profiteth little. I know it says little, but there is some profit there.
Right.
While it pales in comparison to the importance of godliness, there's most certainly profit there. Let's go on just a few more slides here. Number 31 here. The benefits of physical exercise. It helps control weight, combats health diseases, conditions, health diseases. There are many things it combats, but I have a list here. Stroke, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, many types of cancer, arthritis, falls. I even heard recently, walk around in your house, this may seem really strange, but it's interesting, barefoot. Because they say when your feet are bare like that, the muscles in your feet develop and strengthen, which helps your stability. Fascinating, your balance. Fascinating. But you got to study these things and look into them. There's great benefit in us following God's law. Regular exercise can also help improve cognitive function and helps lower the risk of death from all causes. Improves your mood. Amen. I've found when I'm studying and when I'm working and so on, just getting out and walking.
Yeah.
See, I do a lot of studying, but I study kind of this way. I'll be working away at my computer and my books for a few minutes, and then I'm up walking and doing something. And then I'm back down, and then I'm up walking. And then I'm back down, and then I'm up walking. It's just the way I work. My attention span's, I guess, maybe a little short. But I work at it, and I'm active. I like to be the same way at school. I'll get on a task, and then I'm up doing something else. Then I'm back doing that task, and then I'm up doing something else. Does anyone else operate that way?
Yes.
Amen. You have lots on your mind. Get this done, get that done. But we got to stay active. Amen. Stay active. And it's not a big thing. It's not going out and running 6 miles a day. It's not what I'm saying here at all. Let's go to the next slide. According to the ADA, the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, a simple 10 to 15 minute walk can help reduce anxiety and stress. A little birdie told me that Brother and Sister Polson get up real early and go out every morning, hold hands, and walk together. Now, isn't that sweet? Now, they didn't say the holding the hand part. I added that. But they go out and walk in the mornings. Am I correct? And run? Okay. But they stay active. And again, I realize some can't do that. But, you know, even if you can walk through your house,
right,
walk into your backyard, go to the mailbox, go several times a day.
Yeah.
Amen. But stay active. How you feel about yourself greatly affects how you feel about others. See, people who don't feel good often lash out at others. But see, when you feel good about yourself, and part of what feeling good about yourself is this diet and exercise. When you feel good about yourself, you tend to treat others better. Amen. Let's go on. The bottom line is we are commanded to be good stewards of what God has given us. And God has given us these bodies. All right, Brother Danny, go on to the next one. The Bible lets us know that this is God's house. Just as we should be spiritually active in the service of God, we should likewise remain physically active. Amen. In closing, 1 Timothy, Paul said this. He gave some wonderful words of wisdom. He said, the Spirit speaketh expressly, 1 Timothy in 4th chapter. Latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are some of these doctrines? Speaking in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared without iron, forbidding to marry, if can't even abstain from meats. But what did Paul say? Not so. What God has created, you eat and receive it with thanksgiving. What God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. The Christian refuses to be mastered by any physical gratification. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, he subdues it before it controls him. Our health and wellness are highly dependent upon us having a temperate mind and a temperate body. Let's go to just two slides and we're going to be done here. Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown that's perishable, but we do it, the same kind of training, for a crown that's imperishable. Some have physical limitations and are restrained. God sees that. He understands that. But those of us who can be active and eat, certainly we all can do that. Watch our what we eat. We should do it. And it takes temperance in our eating. It takes thoughtfulness to plan out. What are we going to eat? What are we going to engage in? What kind of activity are we going to engage in? But it's well worth our time and effort. Yes, ma'am.
Brother, you spoke of water.
Yes.
I know the bottled water has been out for a long time.
Yeah.
So is it good to be faucet water or bottled water?
I think it depends. And I know some people's tap water is not very good and they don't have very good filter system. And then I've heard some bottled water, I think that you have to look into that. It depends on the bottle, but I'd say it just depends. Yeah. Good question. And Sister Lisa, you had something in closing here? We got to send these people to food. Speaking of food.
I just want to know what she asked.
Yes.
But the osmosis water is good. You can get spring water, like pure spring water. I was thinking it's artesian wells. If you can get pure water from a pure source from the earth is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's rare that it's not contaminated. And then also,
there's another water that Dad has used, and I know some of you that have been battling cancer. What's that called?
Alkaline.
Some of you have probably heard of that. I think it's really good for you as well.
It begins with a D, but it slipped my mind just now.
No worries. Distilled?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Boris. Thank you, Sister. Thank you all. You can go eat. Enjoy your supper. If you want a fried fish, get a fried fish. Salad bar. Okay. Salad bar is going to be hopping tonight. It's never been so busy.